given to any police station as regards the blocking of traffic along the road. That has not been done. If at all it was so, they would have said such and such a person has complained that on this particular day, traffic was blocked and it was an inconvenience to them. In any event, this is not a daily event. It's a once-off event, once every week. And if you look, you are going to walk the streets of Lusaka on a Saturday morning, you will find that a lot of people are jogging. That will mean that millions or thousands of people will have to be notifying the police every weekend to say we're going jogging. He's not the only one who does that.
So moving forward, are you saying that the former president will continue jogging irrespective of the warning that the police have given? And what happens to the supporters when they join him jogging, which the police have expressed concern about as well?
What the police are doing is illegal. So we shall not will not obey an unlawful warning, as it were. It only has to be within the four corners of the law for it to be appropriate. The police are only responding to the political outcry of the UPND and not necessarily to the law. Their job is to maintain law and order. If the police are of the view that the jogging incidences, which they are aware of, is causing traffic jams along the way, their job is to come and control the flow of traffic, whilst respecting each road user's right to use the road. That is their job. Their job is not to stop it, but to control how it is done. That is what they ought to do.
Makebe Zulu is lawyer for former Zambian President Edgar Lungu. He spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. In South Africa, Rise Mzansi, a new opposition political party, plans its maiden convention next week. The meeting will enable the new party to choose its leaders ahead of the next general election, established in April 2023, the new party says its approach of inclusive politics will attract the youth and citizens dissatisfied with the leading political parties, including the governing African National Congress, or ANC, and the main opposition Democratic Alliance, or DA. This, as some opposition groups seek to form an alliance with the aim of wresting power from the ANC. For more about Rise Mzansi and its coming progress, as well as its electoral prospect, I reach party leader Songezo Zibi.
Most South Africans don't vote. And through the course of last year, we sought to understand why they do not choose any of the political parties. And it came down to political culture and political style, organizing style, in particular political culture, and the manner in which you frame the issues that affect their lives politically. And also the level of engagement and ongoing conversation in the community before, during, and after an election. And we could see that no other political party is doing this, and we decided to do it. The second and last reason is that we got to understand the South Africans' choice of political orientation, which is social democratic. And so we've chosen social democratic politics and social democratic policy choices. So if we're in the U.S., we'd be kind of more with Bernie Sanders than the Democrats and so on.
Why do you think they would choose you rather than go with the so-called the big boys, the ANC, the DA, the EFF? Why would they choose your party to vote for you?
Because I've already made a choice. So let me give you some numbers to put for the listeners in perspective. So in 2021, we had local government elections here, municipal elections. There were 41 million eligible voters. 28 million didn't turn up to vote. It's not just people that have not voted before, not registered. 14 million of them were not registered. Now, the 14 million registered voters alone are more than all the voters who voted put together in that election. So in other words, you have people who have voted before or who are registered to vote and have decided not to vote anymore. So they've made that choice already. The question is, how do you get them to vote? And that's what we've basically, that's the holy grail we've sought to unlock and we believe we have found it.
There is this DA-led effort to unite all the opposition minus the EFF to form a formidable force to, as they say, to dislodge the ANC from government. Why are you not joining them? And have you been approached? I heard you were approached, but you rebuffed them. Why are you not joining if you have the same objective, which is to wrestle power from the ANC, the governing party?
Because we would not be solving the reason why people don't vote. People are not staying away from the polls because there are too many political parties. In fact, they're not just choosing not to vote for the ANC. They're choosing not to vote for anybody. And it all comes to political style. Let me make an example. The culture in South Africa is to go to voters or to people in communities and say, voters, we are different to the other guys. If you vote for us, we will sort out your lives after the election. That's a bad message. It doesn't work. So what we do is we convince people that the change lies with them. They need to build their own political alternative. And politics needs to be about the issues that affect them daily. And the activism needs to drive those issues on a daily basis. Nobody does that in South Africa today, as I speak to you. There is a language of an exchange between political parties and voters where they say, why should we trust you? What will you do for us? We get asked the same question, and we say the counterintuitive thing. We say, we're not going to do anything for you. We are going to do it together because we are fed up like you. We are not here to sort out your life. We all need to stand up. That is why the name of our organization is what it is. If you don't stand up, none of this changes.
Your party is going to organize its first convention next week. What is the message here, and what should South Africans expect from this convention?
What they should expect is a political declaration and later a political manifesto that reflects the issues people are dealing with in their daily lives every day, and they are formulated that way. There are six themes of discussion next weekend. It's family, community, governance, the economy, it is nation building and climate change, six themes. Again, you can look at most political parties in South Africa. Family and community are not there. And yet when people talk to us, they spend 95% of the conversation telling us about their families, telling us about the issues in the community and so on. But that's not the language of South African politics at all. It's a language of promises about jobs and those kind of things. So we've decided to change the political language as well.
Songezo Zibi is leader of South Africa's opposition party, Rise Insanzi. He spoke with me from Johannesburg, South Africa. In Uganda, an opposition lawmaker says a court ruling that invalidates his removal as parliamentary commissioner shows justice can be attained in the East African country. Francis Zake is a prominent member of the opposition party National Unity Platform. He says it was illegal for his colleagues to vote to strip him of his position in the lawmaking body. In its ruling, the court says Anita Among, who is the current Speaker of Parliament, violated the principles of justice. That's because she did not recuse herself from the case while she was the complainant as Deputy Speaker at the time and presider of the case to strip Zaki of his position. Among had accused Zaki of insulting her on social media platforms. But in reaction to the court ruling, Zaki tells me that the move to strip him of his position was aimed at silencing him, which he contends undermines constitutional guarantees of freedom of speech.
First and foremost, this means that we are freedom fighters. We are fighting for the rule of law in Uganda because it is lacking. But as you know, the judiciary of this country is just like the story of the dead clock, that it is correct twice a day. And today it has been correct to give us a correct ruling, and we are really, really happy that at least justice has been served on me.
The speaker accused you of insulting her on social media platforms. Some people are wondering, why would you insult the Speaker of Parliament? If you have any issues with her, why don't you approach her?
Yeah, first and foremost, we must have freedom of expression. Each and everyone must be able to express themselves freely. So it shouldn't matter that when I talk about you, I should first, you know, approach you and then I'm like, you know, should I say A, B, C, D? No. We must be free in the way we speak, in the way we act. We must be free as long as you're not infringing on someone's rights. So that alleged social media post, of course, it is just alleged. But it's because she was not happy with me being in the commission. It's the reason as to why she did the mob justice on me. And I'm very, very happy that at least justice has been served.
Well, some people are suggesting that calling her a dictator and that she violates the law is rather uncharitable as a member of parliament and as somebody who, you know, is the third most powerful person in Uganda. That really brings disrepute and dishonor to the office of parliament.
Yeah, you know, Peter, whenever someone has powers, just like you've said that she's number three in hierarchy, in Uganda, when someone has powers, they think they are going to use that power to violate the rights of others. So power absolutely corrupts, and she has been used to do very many things on other Ugandans, just like I'm a torture victim. My case has taken over 17 months without, you know, getting a ruling by, you know, the power she has. That's what she has been doing to me. So today we've gotten a ruling, and I'm really very, very happy. And I think it is serving as an example to so many others who have been quiet, those who have been violated by that same Speaker of Parliament. So today I think we are really happy as Ugandans, because at least the third most powerful person in this country who violates the rights of Ugandans, at least she has been touched, because she has been behaving as untouchable.
What do you say to those who are saying that accusing each member who voted against you of collecting a bribe or a kickback of 6 million shillings is unfounded, and that you should prove that they collected such monies?
Peter, it's not the first time Parliament has been giving bribes to members of Parliament. It has happened several times. During the age limit debate, they gave us 5 million. I remember that time when it was given to us, and some of us returned it. We are very few members of Parliament who can return bribes. So it has been done, and it has always been done. This is not the first time. It has been done several times. Even it has been done, actually, even during COVID, they gave us a bribe of 29 million, and we returned that money. I remember myself and my president, formerly when he was still an honorable member of Parliament, we returned that money. It was a bribe. You know, they never wanted us to move, and they were giving us money to give to our constituents, yet they are not allowing us to move. So that was a bribe. Even this time, it has been done. And we have all the evidence. The only thing that we cannot bring out is the one solid member of Parliament who is brave enough to present that, because we are very few people who can return bribes in this country.
Francis Zake is a member of the Ugandan Parliament and a leading member of the Opposition National Unity Platform. He spoke with me from the Ugandan capital, Kampala. The African Bar Association is calling for an internal investigation into assault of one of its leading members by agent of the Department of State Security Services in Edo State. The group called on the authorities of the organization to prosecute the agent for violating the fundamental right of attorney Douglas Ogbankwa. Local media report attorney Ogbankwa, a human rights defender and the director of strategic communications of the African Bar Association, was assaulted at the office of the DSS while representing his client. For more reaction and details, I reach attorney Douglas Ogbankwa.
I was on a scheduled visit to the State Security Service office at Edo State Command with my client, and they actually wanted my client to come and see the officers and make statements. And I told them that by our laws I'm supposed to be there. So that was what caused the crisis. And eventually, the Department of Transportation and Intelligence, the Edo State Command of the State Security Service, to the Secret Service in Nigeria, depended on me with his boys, about 8 boys. They actually took me away from their reception, pulled me away from the ground on the bed floor. I was dressed like a lawyer, wearing a suit with our traditional regalia. And when I stood up and asked him if I reported the matter to the president, that the president was hearing it, he actually said with so much impunity that they are the president's boys and that I can go to anywhere and nothing will happen.
So what is your next line of action? Because I understand civil society groups, even the African Bar Association has condemned the assault.
Yeah, very well. I am the director of strategic communications of the African Bar Association, and they know. So if such a thing can happen to a lawyer of my place, what will happen to the bricklayer out in the street? That's really my interest in this matter. The poor woman selling water on the road, the woman selling fruits, the bus driver, the street sweeper. So we've heard so much about some of these shenanigans by these organizations, and our concern, I don't have anything against them. As a matter of fact, I am a stakeholder in the nation building process. I'm surprised because I have a very cordial relationship with them. So, but the way they went about it, it was like they are trying to test the waters. And so if we are not able to tackle it now, then they will begin to attack every single lawyer, doctor. And so it's actually like a flagship. I would need to nip it in the bud. I know that their hierarchy may not have approved of this. But those people who did it, they should be identified, isolated, interdicted, tried, and in fact found guilty. They should be dismissed from service to serve as a deterrent for others.
Are you asking for the DSS to conduct an internal investigation over what happened?
They should conduct an internal review of the incident. And thankfully, I can confirm that the CCTV cameras were working and were in good condition that day. So they should review it, and if those people are found to have gotten outside their standard operational procedures, then they should be disciplined to the highest level of discipline that they could ever have, which is the dismissal of all of them. There are 9 of them altogether.
Are you saying, based on your interactions with them over the years, this is not a standard operating?
It is not a standard operational procedure, to be very frank. You know, I am surprised. It's an anomaly, I must say so. You know, so I believe, quite frankly, that there are now a new set of boys who claim to be the president's boys. I know the president, President Bola Tinubu, is a stickler for the rule of law, due process, fundamental human rights, and for the right thing to be done. And they trying to use the name of the president, I find it very, very unacceptable. And I think the president can do well by actually putting them in their place. And so that tomorrow no president can come. It may not just be the DSS, it can be any organization. Nigeria has been a country that has swamped in a lot of human rights violations over the years, and a lot of things have been swept under the carpet. They want to use this case to be able to open up the space for people to express their views. We are not living in a military rule. When they took over in those countries around the world, we condemned them, and we stood with the democratic party because, as far as we are concerned, freedom, respect for fundamental human rights, and respect for the rule of law are really those things that make a human being a human being. So any person, no matter how highly placed, that will want to come and today the human being is not fit to be in the system. And they should actually be charged to court after their dismissal for bringing shame to the service.
Attorney Douglas Ogbankwa is a human rights defender and the director of strategic communications of the African Bar Association. He spoke with me from the Nigerian capital, Abuja.
You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clotty, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. Right now, it's time for music from our African collection. And we hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Douglas Mpuga, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, you do not teach the parts of the forest to an old gorilla. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa.